You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Dante, Saray. How are you boys doing today?
Doing pretty good. We're almost through recapping the draft classes. We got about two more weeks left. Should be a good time. I'm feeling good. It's a nice day out. The weather's turned. A lot of playoffs going on in other sports. Today's going to be fun.
And one of your teams are also participating in the playoffs, in the NBA playoffs. You got the Philadelphia 76ers, number one seed in the East.
Damn right, baby. Here we come.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're winning it all this year. Calling it. I call my shot right here.
Me and Saray's basketball teams are competing for the lottery right now. So we'll see how that goes. We got top three.
Can you just pause real quick? Just say that the Sixers are winning it all? Did I just hear that correctly?
Yeah. No, you see, look. I'm a football analyst. I am just a blind basketball fan.
Okay, right? That's fair.
I'm just completely invested in my favorite team winning it all, and I am not interested in hearing other opinions. They're going to win every single game, and they're going to win the finals. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Fair enough. I think it's something – it's refreshing sometimes to watch different sports, because I feel like football, yeah, sometimes we're like just always invested in all the analytics and everything, like all the insights, where when, yeah, I watch like baseball, when I watch basketball, even hockey, it's just like I'm just a fan. I could sit back. I don't have to like worry about like doing a podcast after, like looking at all the ins and outs and everything. It's just kind of nice to just watch, and you know, you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, it's nice to get irrationally angry about things.
Exactly.
You know, because something will happen in a Dolphins game, and someone will be like, oh, it's the quarterback's fault. And it's like, well, the offensive line actually should have slid left here to block up this front. You know, like I'm sitting there, you know, I'm just watching the Panthers get thrashed by the Lightning yesterday, and I'm just like crying. I have no idea what's happening, but they're losing like 6-2. It's nice, you know, it's refreshing. It cleanses the palate in the offseason.
It's like, yeah, it's just nice to sometimes be more of a fan. Not that we're not fans of football, but it's like just different. So I agree 100% there. But with this episode, we're going to be talking about the NFC and AFC West. So we've obviously done the North and we've done the East. So we got two more episodes, like Dante mentioned, of breakdowns. We got the West and we got the South. So when we're doing the West today, we're going to be starting off with the AFC West. I'm going to kick it off to Dante. What team will you be covering from the AFC West today?
Yeah, well, I drew the short straw here. I got the Raiders out of the AFC West. I think that we need to address the elephant in the room. Alex Leatherwood in the first round at pick 17. Look, I feel bad about this because I don't think Alex Leatherwood's a bad football player. Like, I really don't. I think he's perfectly fine. And if he comes in, you know, maybe he's a good starting right tackle, and the Raiders need one of these. The problem that I have is that the Raiders' offensive line was like kind of good when they came into the offseason, and then they just like randomly cut like four starters for no reason. And it is just like very weird, right? Like, so the only guy who's really left over is Colton Miller. Like, I understand Trent Brown had a lot of injuries, but they cut the interior guys. They trade one of them to Arizona. I think the other one went to Seattle or something. Like, just very, very weird process. So now they've recycled their entire offensive line, and you're going to get a guy in Alex Leatherwood who I think is perfectly fine, but I think he's a guard, if I'm being completely honest. I think that that's his best position. I think that's where he's going to be successful. Mike Mayock came out the second they drafted him. He did a press conference for NFL Network. He said he's going to be the right tackle of the future. I don't know how confident I am that that's going to go well. And you had good offensive linemen before this. So you've reached on a player who I think you're going to play out of position early. So it's a weird pick. And I don't know if Leatherwood's going to be a total like dumpster fire at tackle. Like, I don't think this is going to be Ereck Flowers, but I also don't know how much, you know, like really, really solid play you're going to get out of him early. You know, like I just think he might be better off at guard. So that was a weird pick. Outside of that, though, I'm going to be honest. I like what the Raiders did, especially addressing the back end. They drafted three different safeties, Trayvon Morrig in the second round. They went for Divine Diablo in the third round with pick 80. I mean, elite name, first of all. We just get that out of the way. Tyree Gillespie is a player that I really like. They got him at pick 143 in round four. The Raiders secondary was hot trash last year. So this is really, really nice to see them infuse young talent onto the back end. I think Moehrig and Gillespie are very, very good players in deep zones. I think you can play those guys interchangeably all over the field. You can ask them to come up into the box a little bit. You can ask each of them to play in man coverage over slots. You can put Moehrig as a single high. You can put Gillespie, you know, in a cover two role with Moehrig taking the other half of the field. I think they give you a ton of coverage versatility there. So I really love those picks. Divine Diablo was not a player I was a huge fan of, but you add him to this safety room where presumptively he's not going to be asked to play in deep zones at all. And you can get him around the line of scrimmage and he could be a box guy for you. He's very versatile. You know, maybe you can coach him up in man coverage and he could be a good little option for you. I think he ends up playing more of a linebacker type role for them, but they needed that too. I mean, this whole defense was just not good at football. And so getting this young infusion of talent on the back end, I think was really great. And they get to pair him with Jonathan Abram too, who's another guy who they overdrafted in the first round. But, you know, he's another guy who could be an enforcer in there. He complements what Moehrig and Gillespie do really, really well. So I really like those picks, and I hope that those young guys get an opportunity to play early. I think they can add, you know, turnovers, a little bit of spark, a little bit of spunk to this Raiders defense, but they desperately need it. Outside of that, though, I mean, it's just a bunch of like high upside guys. Malcolm Kuntz from Buffalo. He's pretty raw, but he's a good athlete. He can bring some things to the table. Nate Hobbs tested really well, the corner out of Illinois. And then Jimmy Morrissey was a 4-year starter for Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's going to make that team or not, but he was pretty solid for them in the ACC. So overall, I think this is like a B minus. I like the Raiders draft outside of like a weird Leatherwood pick. And maybe they reached on Divine Diablo, but you know, they really needed to address that safety room. Like that was by far the weakest position on the roster, even after they cut, you know, all of their starting offensive linemen. You know, so I like what they did there. I think this is a B minus for me. It's just the Leatherwood pick, man, is just a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, fair enough. And I feel like that's just been the trend of the John Gruden and Mike Mayock era of the Raiders. It just seems like every single draft, especially in the first round, it's like, really, this early? Last year was Arnett. The year before, it was Cleveland Farrell. This year, Alex Leatherwood. It's a consistent repeating factor. And it's like, you know, if these guys work out and these guys play well, no one talks about it, right? But it just hasn't been working out with that trend. I mean, the Cleveland Farrell pick in the top four is he's not been terrible, but he's not lived to the expectation, obviously, right?
He's been terrible. Say it. He ain't good.
Yeah, he's got like what, like three sacks in three years.
This should have been Brian Burns, dude, or Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally getting outplayed by Max Crosby as a 4th round pick in the same draft. Yeah. So.
And Max Crosby has no skill, is a straight effort guy. So it is what it is.
The slander is starting early.
And then the Damon Arnett pick as well. It's like he was a number two corner at Ohio State, and they drafted him, you know, middle first round pick. It wasn't even like a late first round pick of anything. It was a middle first round pick.
Yeah. And Arnett is not a bad player. Like, it's the same thing as like the Leatherwood thing. It's like, I didn't hate Arnett coming out of college. It's just like not like the first
not
round.
Spot.
Like,
yeah,
the top 20? Like, yeah. Really? Yeah. I don't know.
I think the same thing goes with Cleveland Farrell as well. Me and Dante were talking pre-show. It's like, I'm a Lions fan, so we were picking a pick at number 8, and we were in desperate need of an edge rusher. I'm like, I don't even want Cleveland Farrell pick 8, and they picked him at pick 4. So I don't know, man. Saray, what team will you be covering in the AFC West? You got two teams, so which team will you be covering?
Well, I guess since I have the Chargers and the Broncos, we'll start with the Broncos first. Why not?
Yeah, you guys listen, save your team for less.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we'll start with the whole Justin Fields thing, dude. Teddy Bridgewater. If he was a Lion, if Drew Lock was a Lion, if Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock were Miami Dolphins, are either of those dudes altering your draft plans? The answer is hell no, right? I don't care what we got going on. I don't care what we think Teddy can be for the next 2 to 3 years as a low ceiling guy, but a vet who's going to give you the experience, right? He's going to be a good locker room guy. He's going to lead. I know we're going way back to his time with the Saints where he went 5-0, and last year when he watched the Rams, man, he's not going to consistently push the football down the field. He's not going to
take a team over the hump, right? He's just good enough to where he got the Panthers out of top four quarterback territory, but just bad enough to where he's not going to elevate this franchise to the next level. And the Panthers are, you know, trying to right their wrongs and, you know, trade for Darnold because they end up, you know, making the mistake and giving Teddy, what was it, like 3 years, $70 million, whatever the deal was, something like that. And George Payton, the new general manager for the Denver Broncos, you know, obviously was in Minnesota when Teddy was there. So there's some familiarity there. So I understand it, right? But Bronco fans have been arguing with me via social media, man, since this trade happened. And I'm like, dude, they brought Teddy Bridgewater in to be your starting quarterback. It's already been said that he's going to get first-round reps. They want Drew Lock to win this job, right? They would love for Drew Lock to take the next step, win the job, right, so they can get rid of this quarterback, you know, situation to have. And they hopefully, you know, hopefully they think that this is their guy. But we could all agree we don't see that in Drew Lock at all, right? He hasn't showed that. He has some flashes. We'll give him that. But he's not the guy. They haven't shown any faith in Drew Lock whatsoever. Every veteran trade they could have been on this offseason, they have been on all of it, right? For a reason. He just hasn't been good. And that's okay. It's just not everybody pans out in the NFL. He's not a bad player, right? There's some exciting stuff about Drew Lock, but he just hasn't put everything together. Justin Fields is staring you in the face, and we went with Patrick Surtain. And this is not a knock on Surtain because I thought he was the best corner in the draft, that he was an easy top 15 pick. It's not that, right? And I get it. And look at it, looking at what Denver did in the offseason, man, we didn't think that corner was going to be a need anymore, right? And I know they were older guys on one-year deals, but like Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, who else did Michael Ojemudia from Missouri had some decent showings last year, we'll say that. But the corner room is very, very good in Denver. Overall, the defense is good. I thought that the pick was going to be quarterback or it was going to be linebacker because they don't have that dominant inside presence that we used to Vic Fangio defenses having. And they reportedly came out. They said, we loved Fields. We like Surtain better. I think you're just drafting like a coward. I just think that you're just – it's a scared – I think it's just really just drafting like a coward. I think that you're scared to – start your clock as a GM right now. But at some point, you have to do it, right? Because once you draft that quarterback, your job's basically on the line. I think a lot of teams are fearful of that, which I understand. But we're here to win, dude. There's no way that you have Surtain on your board higher than Fields. I have a hard time believing that. But outside of that, dude, Denver had a stellar draft, man. They really had a stellar draft. Okay, trading up for Javonte Williams. Good football player, but why are we trading up for running backs? He probably is there. Come on, dude. Trading up. Come on. 35, he's probably there. I don't know. Quinn Miners from Wisconsin, Whitewater. We talked about him, small school kid. I mean, he's got the stomach hanging out, right? Kind of come in and maybe compete with Cushenberry for the center position. Man, Baron Browning, I think, is great value. And they have him seen on Twitter, they're having him taking reps at middle linebackers. That's something interesting. I like to see him doing Denver's defense. I think he has the athletic profile to maybe be the man in the middle, but I'm not sure if I'm like 100% seeing like, oh, he's my day one starter over AJ Johnson come week one. I'm not sure if I'm there yet with that, but I mean, if this is just an experiment thing, then maybe, but if that was the case, Michael Parsons was available, we could have made that move, right? There's other things they could have did here, but as far as Browning the player, I thought he was a good player. I was not on the whole top 25 player trend that he was getting. I didn't see that in Browning, but I do think he's a good football nonetheless. Caden Stearns and Jamar Johnson. We talked about Jamar Johnson. I think Dante and I both have him in our top five safeties when we did our rankings. I like to double down on safety, right? Somebody to pair with Simmons. What's the Simmons, the safety's name from Houston's name? It's blanking me right now. What is his name?
Kareem Jackson.
Kareem Jackson can't play forever. Yes. Good football player. And I think him and Simmons are one of the most underrated safety tandems in the league. But he can't play forever. And one of these guys has to take over that role at some point, right? So maybe early on, you're not getting extreme production from these guys. I mean, they're both fifth round picks, right? So maybe these guys make an impact on special teams early. Maybe they're in some dime packages, you know, something to, you know, small reps here and there. But I think a year or two, we'll probably see one of those guys take over that starting role. I don't think Kareem Jackson's, you know, going to be your long term answer because he was cut and they brought him back because, you know, they weren't planning on him returning and now they're here. But Seth Williams, receiver from Auburn, we talked about him, dude. He's a special teams guy, you know, sixth round pick. Kerry Vincent, I think, is a sneaky, sneaky good pick because he's going to a situation where it's good coaching, right? Corners that have played under Fangio have been really, really good. And I think that this question with Vincent, man, you got to be healthy and you just have to have more playing experience, right? So I think that's going to be huge for him to sit and learn from some really good corners on the roster that they have in Denver. But overall, I think Denver had a hell of a draft, man. I just think the biggest thing is I think that Fields is going to tear it up in Chicago. I think that's going to be something that Denver's going to regret is not taking Fields.
All right, sorry, I got a question for you for the Broncos. Let's say we don't know this, obviously. Let's just say they go out for a veteran. Aaron Rodgers is out there, let's say hypothetically, and they trade for Aaron Rodgers. Does this change your plans or, like, does this change your thoughts?
On Justin Fields?
No, just of the Broncos passing on Justin Fields, I guess.
The Broncos would win 2 to 3 Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers, hands down, in the division with Patrick Mahomes. They'd win two easily. So, on paper, the Broncos have the best roster in the division. They just don't have a quarterback.
So you think if Aaron Rodgers is available, you go all in for him?
If you're the Broncos. Okay. I had this question with somebody the other day. Let's say you gave up 3 to 4 first-round picks for Rodgers.
Who's 37?
Let's say you just mortgage your future for this MVP caliber quarterback, first-ballot Hall of Famer, and you win 2 to 3 Super Bowls. Are you fine with that? 100%. Giving up promising young talent and draft picks, are you fine with winning? Because if you're winning a ring, do we really give a shit what we gave up for the quarterback? Yes or no?
No, 100%. No, we don't care.
So if we're winning and Rodgers is here, I mean, 3-4 years, well, not even 3-4, as soon as he retires, right, because you've mortgaged your future, you gave up your picks, you're probably in the same position you were when Manning was here. You guys won, lost, won, and you leave, right? You're probably in the same position. But, like, do you want to be in that same position, or would you rather – Jeff Fields and maybe, you know, keep your promising young talent, keep your draft picks and build around a young quarterback instead of mortgaging your future? I mean, it's hard to say that when you hear Super Bowls. I mean, I don't know. It's
that's what I'm saying. So what would you do? I'd trade for Aaron Rodgers. I know what I'm getting with Aaron Rodgers instead of Justin Fields. Like, yeah, I know 100%.
If this decision was based on trading for a 37-year-old quarterback, that is bad team management. I just want to say that. If we're banking on not drafting Fields because we want to trade for a quarterback who's almost 40, who love Aaron Rodgers, most talented quarterback I've ever seen play besides Mahomes, in my opinion. But that's bad team management, in my opinion, if we're being honest. But if they know something we don't know, like, hey, we have a real shot at Rodgers, I'll by all means do it because they have the best roster in the division, hands down. I don't think it's even close, to be honest with you. I would do it immediately because they're going to win a ring. There's no way they don't. I wouldn't even be upset because I love Aaron Rodgers that much. I wouldn't even, like, be mad if they won with Rodgers just because I've been wanting to get a ring for so long. So, like, it's a good move if they did it.
I will say it's definitely risky because you're banking that Green Bay will trade for him. And this is obviously just throwing it out there. I'm not saying the Broncos are going to go out there and trade for Aaron Rodgers. And if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, I'm 100% agreeing with you because then you're stuck with that quarterback room that you just talked about, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. And how many games are you going to win with those two? 7 at max? 8 games at max? Like, you're just not going to win many football games. You're definitely not a Super Bowl contender. So I agree with you. If they don't go out for Aaron Rodgers, I agree 100% with you. But I probably would have taken Justin Fields regardless because even if you took Justin Fields, you could always end up trading him and down line if you have Aaron Rodgers. So, I don't know. Solidify the spot. That's for me personally. But I'm here to cover the Kansas City Chiefs today who, man, they had a great draft in my opinion. I mean, they had a phenomenal draft. Not having a first-round pick, obviously trading for Orlando Brown, which 100% worth it because that was the biggest weakness on this football team was that offensive line. So, they go out, get a proven left tackle, a young left tackle from the Baltimore Ravens. So they trade one of their first-round picks and go out and get Orlando Brown, which is completely fine with me, especially when you got a team like this. But they got another second-round pick in that trade with the Baltimore Ravens. So they picked two. They picked pretty close to each other in the second round, pick 58 and pick 63. Loved both the picks that they chose. They got Nick Bolton at 58. Obviously, linebacker is one of their weaker spots on their football team. The defense is okay, obviously needs improvement. So Nick Bolton, I think, is a day one starter for this team. He's going to produce right away for this football team. It's going to be a lot of fun watching him fly around on the outside linebacker spot for them. Then with their 63 pick, which was an absolute steal, in my opinion, they go out and get Creed Humphrey, center from Oklahoma. I thought Creed Humphrey was going to be an early second-round pick, maybe even one of those guys that we see go late day one. It wouldn't have surprised me. And they ended up getting him late day two, or late second round, I should say. With Creed Humphrey. So, again, you're getting a day one starting center with Creed Humphrey. And the Kansas City Chiefs have completely switched this offensive line around and for the better. You got Orlando Brown now at left tackle. You got Joe Tooney at left guard who they signed from the Patriots. Now they got Creed Humphrey up in the middle. And then the right side, you know, you still got some question marks. You got LDT coming back from – obviously he opted out of the 2020 season. So you got him back. And then you got Mike Remmers, which, you know, he's okay. So – overall, the left side is looking really, really strong with Creed, Orlando, and Tooney. I mean, it was a phenomenal first two picks for the Kansas City Chiefs, getting two immediate starters for this team that's going to definitely be Super Bowl contenders. And I think with those two picks, it's going to really help their cause of being, you know, legitimate Super Bowl contenders if they weren't even before. And then going on with the draft, another pick I really like, they got him in round 5. It was a commentary pick at pick 181. Cornell Powell from Clemson. This is a guy we talked about. I believe at the Senior Bowl, he's just an impressive guy. I could just see this guy coming in, and he's gonna help out Patrick Mahomes right away because obviously they lost Sammy Watkins, the receiving room, still got Tyreek Hill, but then after that, you know, you got a lot of question marks. You got guys like DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman. I think Cornell Powell is going to have a pretty immediate impact if that's going to be wide receiver three, wide receiver four. I think they're going to shift around all those guys that got, you know, in that room. And getting him at pick 181, I think he's just going to be a phenomenal player. And I think especially him going to the Andy Reid offense in Kansas City, he's going to be phenomenal. And another pick I liked a lot too, they got him in the sixth round as well. I wasn't necessarily a guy I loved in the draft, but where they got him was phenomenal. Was Trey Smith, guard from Tennessee, getting him in the sixth round, pick 226. Great value. Great, great value. So overall, I thought the Kansas City Chiefs had a great draft. I would say this is a minus, honestly, because this solidifies them being another legitimate Super Bowl contenders. You got Patrick Mahomes, his center of the future. You got him a defensive player. So I don't know. I love the draft for the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm going to give it an A minus.
Man, you know, Cornell Powell had one of my favorite plays from the entire year. I don't know if we talked about this on the pod before, but against Pittsburgh, I'll make this brief. Lawrence throws like a 40-yard bomb to Powell in single coverage. He goes up, high points the ball, and he gets up and he tells the corner that he's shorter than him, right? So he gives him like the, you're too short to cover me. Corner stands up. He's at least 3 inches taller than Powell. Powell's pushing like 6 foot. This dude's like 6'3", 220. And Powell just goes, you're too short to cover me, man. He's going to be great. Just on that play alone, he's going to be a standout wide receiver for the Chiefs. So that leaves me with the Cardinals as we pivot to the – or no, wait. Oh, no,
we race. Got the Chargers.
That's
the race favorite
team. I was about to space it out, too. Team. Wow, geez.
Yeah, we both forgot. My God.
See how this morning is going, our afternoon for you guys. But, all right, we'll make this quick because I absolutely hate what the hell we did in the third round. But, listen, the draft started just amazing, right? Amazing. You Slater at 13, get our left tackle of the future. Then we double down. We come back in a second round. We get my man Asante Samuel. Corner was a huge need. Pair somebody with Michael Davis and Chris Harris. I was really upset we cut Casey Hayward, but I guess just doesn't fit the scheme of what Staley wants to do. Thought he still played some solid football last year. Man, I think in a COVID year, you have to make these tough decisions to cut veterans. But I would assume we would have got rid of Chris Harris before we did Casey, but it probably was a cap situation also. But this is where things got ugly for me, man. So everybody's hyping us up. Oh, you guys had the best draft, day two, whatever, you know, your first two picks. And then here we see Josh Palmer and Trey McKitty. And listen, Hunter Long was available. I just want to throw that out there. Tylan Wallace was available. There were other players I had higher on my board who were higher ceiling players, you know, even their floor is higher than what we're getting on get from McKitty and from Palmer. And listen, I just don't see it, guys. I'm sorry. We have religiously taken, man, we had the kid from Virginia come in who was supposed to be our special teams guy, and it just hasn't worked out. We get my man from Ohio State, the slot receiver, and barely gets touches. Yes, and it just bothers me, and I don't know what's going on. And I don't know if this was an Anthony Lynn thing that these dudes aren't getting on the field, so maybe Staley and everybody else sees something we just haven't seen yet because the previous, you know, regime just wasn't on board with it. I try to make it make sense, and it doesn't make sense to me what we've done in the third round repeatedly with Tom Telesco. And I think he's an overrated GM, but geez, man, at some point, your third-round picks, like, those are valuable, dude. A lot of NFL rosters are built around second- and third-round picks, man. I don't know. Those two were the worst picks for me, man. It goes to show how low the league was on the tight end class, right? Because we're seeing guys, McKitty, getting drafted earlier than we all would have not seen happen. Josh Palmer from Tennessee, dude, I went back and did some research on him. He's got some talent, but he's not a third-round pick, man. Like, I just hated that pick. And Chris Rumpf, listen, he's got to put on some weight. And are you going to be – I don't want to draft another player who is going to be an off-ball linebacker. Oh, he's an edge rusher. What the hell is the plan? Please tell me now. I've had enough with that with Kaiser White. I don't want to see it anymore. Dude, I hate drafting players, and we don't have a plan with them. We're moving them around. It's kind of what the Cardinals did with Hassan Reddick and apparently what the hell they're doing with Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins. Like, you're drafting these kids, and you got to have a plan for them day one. And Staley's a smart defensive mind, so I know he's got something planned. But my man's got to put on weight. He's got to play through contact better. And I'm not expecting any production from him in year one, right? But if there's anybody who's going to get the most out of this type of player, it's going to be Brandon Staley. So I think that's why this may have been the best fit for Chris Rumpf out of Duke. And after that, man, I mean, it's really just guys who are just building depth on the roster. Brandon James, the tackle from Nebraska. Nick Neiman, who tested out at his mine at Iowa. And Roundtree from Missouri. Okay, one, he ain't good, my buddy. And two, we took Joshua Kelly last year. So what the hell are we doing drafting running backs? And I mean, this guy may be a special team. So I understand that the running back room was not as deep as we would like it to be. I think Austin Eckler is obviously our clear-cut number one, although Chargers fans are always skeptical about that, and I do not understand why. We had a cycle of running backs come for this team last year, just different guys all over the place. So, and I think you're drafting Kelly last year and you're drafting Roundtree this year. Dude, this man better be a special teams ace. He better be bringing me some production somewhere other than running back, because I just don't see where he gets touches unless Joshua Kelly is just bad and I'm just not seeing it yet. I mean, he's not great, but he's not horrible. I think he could be a solidified number two running back for us. And Mark Webb, all right, listen, at this rate, we drafted safeties in the sixth round, dude. At this rate, we're going to be starting Jahlil Dye's sorry ass again, and I'm sick of it, okay? I'm so sick of it. The experiment with Nasir Adderley has been complete horrible dog shit, all right? Gonna call it like I see it. It ain't been good, and I loved Adderley coming out. Man, I thought he had great ball skills, thought he had great range, thought he was physical. This hasn't been good. There's been rumors, oh, let's move him to corner. Dude, can we actually take a safety who's ready to play next to Derwin James for once, please? Because the experiments we've had have been horrible, and I wanted Rayshon Jenkins back so bad, because he fits what we want to do on defense. He's a good locker room guy. The team knows him. The team loves him. Dude, come on, man. It just blows my mind. I mean, we're just really banking on Nasir Adderley to be a football player, and he ain't been a good football player. So I'm sorry, dude. I think he had so much talent coming out, but it just hasn't panned out. It's what's year three for me? At one point, do we think, okay, we have to move on? So, excuse me, Mark Webb was a seventh-round pick, 241 to be exact. Are we drafting my man to actually get some serious snaps here? Hell no. He's a seventh-round pick. You're on special teams. Who's even say he made the goddamn roster? If we're being honest, he's a seventh-round pick. Come on, man. So, like, dude, at this rate, the safety room, man, the Chargers will be exploring veteran options in free agency, dude, and by week six. I'm calling it now. So this just it's horrible. I'm moving on. You guys can do whatever you want. Love our draft in terms of the first two picks, and everything else was just meh. Like, people are giving us an A draft because we got Slater, we got a corner. This is BS, man. The rest of the draft stunk, okay? Wasn't great. Wasn't good, in my opinion. It may not be too hard because it's my team, but it was just a pile of it doesn't really move the needle for me after our first two picks. So that's it.
Sister Ray, do you think maybe Brandon Staley could get the best out of these guys that they're here with the previous regime? Maybe they're going to see Adley has a better year with Brandon Staley.
I'm going to be very optimistic because Staley's a great, great mind. Very optimistic. But just from the play I've seen on the football field, it ain't looking too hot, my boy. It's not looking too great. It's not looking great. I mean, it's like Adderley just doesn't want to be out there sometimes. My man takes poor pursuit angles. He looks confused. They don't know what the hell's going on. It's always miscommunication. I don't know if it's, you know, he wasn't healthy for a while and you're on the field not getting reps. I don't really know what it is, man. But we're banking on the kid, so you got to step up tremendously this year. And if, like I said, if there's anybody who's going to get the most out of guys like Chris Rump, Asante Samuel, and all these guys we have, and the young guys bringing in and current young guys on the roster, it would be Brandon Staley, because we see what he did with the Rams defense. And he was balling with third and fourth round picks last year in that secondary. So maybe I'm just being a little too low because it's my team. I like to set low expectations. So if they're horrible, I don't get angry. If they're better than what I'm expecting, then I'm happy. But I just, in terms of what we did in day three, just didn't really move the needle for me.
And then quick question as well. The tight end spot, Trey McKitty. What's your guys' thoughts on Donald Parham? Because I thought he was pretty solid for you guys.
Okay, I like Parham a lot, right? He's a massive 6'8 human being. I think there's potential there. But, like, I don't think he's a starting tight end yet.
No, but you guys got Cooks already. And then
yes, but Jared Cook is on a one-year deal. I like Jared Cook. I know a lot of people are low on him. I've been always a fan of Jared Cook. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because he just played well with the Saints. I don't know, dude. I think he's a solid seam vertical threat for what he is at his age, right? I mean, again, that's probably just Drew Brees making him look good. Who knows, Ben? But, like, if this was our plan after Hunter Henry, we weren't paying Hunter Henry the money that the Patriots gave him. But, like, if this was our plan after Hunter Henry, it worried me. I thought they were, like I said, Hunter Long was available, man. If we're drafting tight ends to come in, and maybe we're not looking for, you know, production year one, which clearly not with Cook there. But, I mean, is this our starter in year two? I don't know. I wasn't really a huge fan of what McKitty did at Florida State and at Georgia. So, I mean, the tight end room, there's a lot of upside there, but I just don't know if any of these guys are going to come in and be what Hunter Henry for was, a really good run blocker and a solidified receiving tight end. I don't see that on the roster right now.
Fair enough. All right. Dante, what team will you be covering in the NFC West?
I spoiled it early because I forgot the Chargers existed, but I am doing the Cardinals for the NFC West. They had a pretty interesting draft.
Don't repeat what Siri just did, too.
No, I'm not. But just had a very, very interesting draft. They started out with Zaven Collins at pick 16, the linebacker from Tulsa, and then they took Rondale Moore at pick 49 in the second round. I really, really like the Rondale Moore pick. I think that's going to be super, super fun. You know, him and Kyler Murray are roughly the same size, but man, do they fit together nicely in that offense. That's going to be a ton of fun. That's a lot of speed to put out there with DeAndre Hopkins. Andy Isabella was bad, but he's also fast. They still have Christian Kirk, who's like pretty solid. A lot of speed for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray to work with. So I'm very, very excited about that. I think, honestly, like as a guy who really, really loved Rondale Moore, top 20 player on my board, bona fide first round talent in this class, I think it's about as good as a fit can get for him. Like if I was going to pick a team for him to go to, I think Arizona probably would have made my top three or top five. So I really love that pick. The Zaven Collins pick is interesting. It was a reach against my board. I get it for the Cardinals. My concern is that this is a team that drafted Isaiah Simmons last year, and they were very confused on what to do with him and where to play him and, you know, where he was going to be successful. You know, they tried to like jam him into a traditional linebacker role early and it did not work. Raheem Mostert dusted him on like his first play as a pro for like a 70-yard touchdown reception. You know, it just like, it didn't really go too well. And Collins is not as versatile, not as complicated of a prospect as Isaiah Simmons. But he's a similar body type build, and he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to put in a very specific role for him to be successful. And I'm just not sure I trust the Cardinals with that. I don't like what they did with Isaiah Simmons last year. I can even bring this back to when they drafted Hassan Reddick out of Temple in the first round. They played my man at linebacker for 4 years. He's not a linebacker, played edge at Temple, was a great Senior Bowl edge. And they played him at linebacker. He was bad. They put him at edge last year. He has a breakout season. He had like 16 sacks or whatever the hell he ended up with. And it's just like very, very weird. So I don't know how I feel about the Cardinals drafting Zaven Collins in the first round. It worries me. I think he's a talented player. And on paper, right? So like taking all of this out, I mean, you get a defense with Buda Baker, Isaiah Simmons, and Zaven Collins, man. That's a lot of versatility. That's a lot of speed. Those are, you know, three very, very talented athletes. Those are the types of players that NFL defenses should covet. They have no corners to speak of, but whatever. They do have some speed there, and I really like that on paper. We'll see how it works out. I'm just a little bit skeptical. The rest of their draft is very underwhelming. Marco Wilson is best known for throwing a shoe rather than his actual play. Victor Dimkadice, they took in the sixth round. I thought that was nice value, but he's like very meh. He's going to be like probably a rotational edge player at best. Tate Gowden is very active on Twitter, but not very active on the football field. James Wiggins, the safety out of Cincinnati. I mean, I think that you get I think that you get really, really good value with him. He was my safety too, man. I love James Wiggins. He was like a fringe top 40 player for me. They got him in the seventh round. I think he can come in and be a special teams ace for them early at the very least. I think he'll make the roster on special teams. And I think that he's a fairly versatile safety you can get on the field. Maybe I overvalued him. Maybe I missed on that evaluation. But for me, man, the Cardinals draft is like very meh. Like this is just a pile of meh. You know, maybe Tate Gowden and Marco Wilson are okay and they can give them some nice corner depth. I'm very skeptical of that. Really like the Rondale Moore pick. Collins looks good on paper. I'm not sure how that's going to work in practice. So for me, this is like a C minus. I just think that this is like very meh. The Cardinals think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I am very confident that they are not. And it's just like, this is really a recipe for disaster, man. This team has fallen down a cliff. And I don't know. I'm very, very skeptical.
Pun intended. Pun intended.
That was pun intended.
I really like how we just wake up and just choose violence.
Yeah, man.
I'm
salty at Tate Gowden because he said I'm doing follow backs when he got drafted, and I followed him, and he did not follow me back. So I'm just gonna slander him on my
man's
podcast.
More active. So maybe he's not more active on Twitter. Maybe he's just
not active at all.
Who knows?
He deserved it.
Moving on, guys.
Okay.
Do I have the Rams next, or is it 49ers with you, Tyler?
I'll do the 49ers, then we'll go on the Rams, and then we'll have Dante close it out with the Seattle Seahawks, which that'll be fast. All right. Here to talk about the Niners right now. Let's talk about the first pick. With the third pick overall, thank God, they didn't take Mac Jones. They went the boom route, baby. Trey Lance, I love this pick. He was my quarterback two in this whole entire class. Got him at pick three. I've been wanting to see this before I even knew the Niners had a top 10 pick. It was more of when I knew Robert Saleh was going to be a coaching candidate, and I knew he was going to, whatever system he was going to go to, he was going to have the opportunity to take a guy like Trey Lance as a quarterback, you know, implementing the offensive game plan or the offensive coordinator he was going to bring in. It was either going to be LaFleur, McDaniels, whoever it was going to be. I knew he was going to bring someone from the Kyle Shanahan tree to be his offensive coordinator. So I knew whatever job Robert Saleh was going to take was going to have a chance to take a guy like Trey Lance. I've been saying this for a while, that I wanted a Trey Lance in a San Francisco type offense for the longest time. He actually went to the San Francisco 49ers with Kyle Shanahan. I didn't think that was actually going to happen, but he actually ended up going to the San Francisco 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, and I cannot wait. I think he is going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL for a long time. Is this going to happen year one? Probably not. Is this going to be an immediate impact? Probably not. Probably have Jimmy Garoppolo for the time being. But overall, the ceiling is there for Trey Lance and the system he's going to. And, I mean, this is a very big move for, you know, Kyle Shanahan and what's their GM's name? John Lynch. Or no, John Lynch. Yeah, that's it. It was blinking my mind for a second. So, I mean, now they're, like we were mentioning with George Payne, you know, he didn't go the quarterback route. They're taking their time right now. This is the time for the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, they have a very good roster. It's really the question is when you're going to put Trey Lance into the game and when you're going to make him your starting quarterback full time. That's going to be an interesting question. And when they move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously not their long-term answer. It's just, we don't know when that's going to happen. So overall, I love the Trey Lance pick, A plus move for the San Francisco 49ers. Going on with the rest of the draft for the Niners. You know, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, it was an interesting route. Obviously they go a guard Aaron Banks at pick 48 from Notre Dame. I like Aaron Banks. I just didn't really love the value at 48. I thought you could have went a better route there. I don't think going guard was a bad pick for the Niners. Obviously, you have a very good roster. So you have the luxury of taking positions where you could use extra depth. You're not really necessarily going best player available when you got a roster like the Niners, because I think with their roster, you got a Super Bowl contending roster. And I know that's wild to say because, you know, they weren't a very good team last year. I believe they only won, what, like 7 games last year, but obviously had a significant amount of injuries. So obviously, that probably doesn't happen again. Anything as close to that, you're getting guys like Bosa back. You're getting Armstead back. Javon Kinlaw year two. So overall, I mean, this defense is still really, really good. So they had the luxury of taking like a position that you need more depth in, and maybe a guy you don't want to pay in the offseason for future. You know, I don't know who that would be, but I'm just saying. Going on with more of their picks, Ambry Thomas from Michigan at 102. I don't know what his role here is with the Niners. I mean, obviously, the Niners' front seven is so good that they can get away with, I would say, mediocre corners. And we could put, I think, like any NFL corner in the Niners with that front seven, and they're going to look fine. It's just Richard Sherman, who was, I think, way past his prime, even looked pretty good with the Niners. I mean, I think you could – their secondary has never been good, and it's never been a big problem for the Niners just because of how good the front seven is and how fast they get to the quarterback. So – you know, I'm interested to see what Ambry Thomas's role is. Kind of, you know, gives me vibes of the Aaron Banks pick. It's just getting depth at a position. Maybe you stick a guy with a rookie contract and you move on from a veteran in future years and you could put Ambry Thomas as a starter. I don't know. Going on, what else with the Niners? I mean, Trey Sermon at pick 88 in the third round, that seems like a Niners pick. It's just that they love getting running backs that they could plug in for certain weeks, and they have certain game plans for their running backs each and every week. It could be any of their three backs. They usually have three backs on their roster, and any of them could break out for a good week. Obviously, they lost Coleman this offseason, so it seems like Sermon's their replacement for Coleman this year. So they got Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Trey Sermon. So it's going to be interesting to see their running back room and, you know, what they end up doing with a guy like Trey Sermon. But overall, I mean, this was a luxury draft for the Niners, like I mentioned. So I don't love the players that they took, but I understand the players that they took. So I'm going to give it a solid B-. I think it's more of a B-, C+. The Trey Lance pick was phenomenal, but everything else was just a little sus to me. So, you know, I think this is a Super Bowl contending team if they're pretty healthy on defense. And I just can't wait to see what Trey Lance ends up doing with Kyle Shanahan.
I like the Trey Sermon pick. That may have been my favorite pick of the draft, if we're being honest. Just with what the 49ers do with running backs, man, like it would not surprise me if he's like in year three and he runs for 1,200 yards. Like, just it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they have certain game plans for all these guys.
Yeah, it's just what they do, man. I'll make this quick because it stinks. I don't know what the hell we're doing here with the Los Angeles Rams. Guys, does anybody know how much Tutu Atwell weighs just off the top of their head?
He weighs the same weight as me. He's like 149 or 150 or something like that.
So he released a video of him on the scale. It was like 157, 160, somewhere in that range. I can't remember.
Did he have his phone in his pocket?
No, I think it was in his hand. I think he was recording. I mean, the phone does add a little weight.
So the phone has some weight to it.
I think he left his shoes on, too.
Yeah, did he have his shoes on?
So we know what pick he was at pick 57. We can all agree that this is stupid. Creed Humphrey was available, guys. He's here. He's there. Your offensive line's not great. Andrew Whitworth, who's playing at a high level still, but my man's got to be like a million years old at this point, right? So like, I don't know what the hell we've got going on with her with the Rams, man. Listen, I heard from some podcasts, I heard from some press conferences, McVay's like trying to hype up this pick with Atwell. Just, oh, he's going to be our jet motion guy. He's going to be our manufactured touch guy. You spent the top 60 pick on that, right? Is this why I think I'm all for having a collaborative thought process, you know, let your scouts do their work, though. This is one of those things where you're letting your coach influence your draft plans by taking Tutu Atwell at 57, right? And I just don't see what does he bring to your offense, man, to your team in general. I mean, he's a small guy. Yeah, he's a jet sweep guy. Yeah, he's fast, right? He's a route running beats, an immense improvement, right? With the type of offense they run, man, it's boot action and stuff, man. This guy's not going to be aggressive enough, or just his body won't allow him to do the stuff that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods have to do when it's blocking in this offense. And Tutu Atwell is not that. So, again, you're talking about a guy who's going to come in and get Jeff sweeps and bubbles and screens. That's your top 60 pick. That's your first pick in the draft. With Creed Humphrey sitting right there on the board, this is what we did, right? Like, you can't sell me on this pick. It was a complete horrible pick. I'll just leave it at that. Aaron Jones, linebacker from South Carolina, didn't even rank in my top 160 pick. Bobby Brown was a guy who got some steam late in the process. Robert Rocher, we talked about on, I forgot what podcast it was, a small school corner from Central Arkansas who I like a lot. But, I don't think you're getting, like, any production from these guys in year one, or not even in year two, man. But, like, for Rocher, you're going into a situation where the Rams corner room always has needed improvement opposite of Jalen Ramsey. So, like, there may be some room for improvement there. I mean, they had some late round guys who bought last year, but that was getting under Brandon Staley. I'm not sure what the new regime's going to have, you know, what they're looking for in terms of the secondary this year. J.K. Harris, tight end out of Central Florida, Ernest Brown, and Jake Funk, running back from Maryland. Dude, this is just your old school lunch pail, dude. I'm gonna run through your face type running back who he may be a special teams guy early on. I don't know if this guy ever sees touches. A seventh round pick. I hope I'm pronouncing this young man's name right because he's kind of fun to watch. Bryn Skowronek, the receiver from Notre Dame. He's a big body receiver, dude. Who honestly, when I first played, thought he was a damn tight end. That's how big he was. He's a physical kid, man. He's going to be on special teams. He'll make the roster, be a special teams guy, man. But, like, there's nothing more than that. I really don't like anything the Rams did, to be honest with you. If I had to give this draft a grade, it'd be a D, and we'll just leave it at that. I don't think the Atwell pick moved the needle for me, and you're drafting a guy who you're planning on giving manufactured touches in the top 60. That's almost as bad as Urban Meyer saying that Travis Etienne took all reps of wide receiver. So it's just not good. We'll just leave it at that, and we can finish with the Seahawks in their three picks.
All right, you guys ready for the fastest analysis of all time?
Let's do it, baby. Break the Guinness World Record right here. Let's do it.
All right, yeah.
42:30. Let's see.
Okay, yeah. Dwayne Eskridge, good player, but he's old and does not play a position of need. Trey Brown is bad. Stone Forsythe is a steal. Done.
And Trey Brown's not even like the Seahawks mold.
No, he's like, not. He's like, he's small, does not fit their needs, man. Weird pick. I like the Stone Forsythe pick. I don't know if he sees the field, though.
No.
And like, he's definitely – and even if I like the pick, like, he's still a day three tackle. Like, even if they got, like, two rounds of value, like, does that push the needle for me? No.
So, Eskridge there, what have you – what if –
That's just saying he's old. He didn't even say anything about the Warriors. He just said he's old.
I know.
I said he was good. I said he was good, but old. That's okay, true. He is good, but old.
He is old.
Eskridge was pick 56. After him was Atwell 57, Nick Bolton 58, Terrace Marshall 59, Pete Werner 60, Carlos Bascom 61, Josh Myers 62, Creed Humphrey 63, and Kyle Trask 64. Which one of those players are we taking above Eskridge here? Because I thought Eskridge was a good player because they need a number three receiver. We seen that last year. But still, not this early.
Terrace Marshall would be the only one I'd consider.
We're not taking Creed Humphrey there at all?
No. I was going to say Creed Humphrey.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
their trenches are terrible.
Yeah, no, Creed Humphrey definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think the Eskridge pick is perfectly fine per se. It's just that, like, I mean, you already got DK Metcalf. You already got Tyler Lockett. I mean,
what about Pete Werner, man? I mean, you're losing.
I like Pete Werner a lot. I mean, I'd rather have, I loved Eskridge. Like, Eskridge was a brand guy for me. Like, yeah. I really like him. This is just, like, a very weird team to take him. You know what I mean? Like, it's got, like, less to do with the player. Like, I even like the fit in the offense. Like, a vertical threat like him with Russell Wilson? Great. But you already got – I mean, you got two of the best vertical threats in the NFL. I mean, low-key already on the team. Tyler Lockett's a wildly underrated vertical threat receiver. I mean, he's great. And obviously, I mean, DK Metcalf's a freaking monster. You got those two guys already. I mean, and again, like, I love Eskridge. Like, Eskridge is a guy I've been on early. Like, I've loved him for a long-ass time, like, before he went to the Senior Bowl. But, like, this is just a guy, like, I mean, you got bigger fish to fry if you're Seattle. Like, that's just what it comes down to for me. Offensive line, not great. Corners, not great. They lost their best corner to Jacksonville. Defensive line, I mean, they ain't got no pass rushers. You know, LJ Collier in the first round, how's that treating you? Not great.
Jordan Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks was actually okay last year, surprisingly.
No, he actually played some solid football last year.
Yeah, no, he was okay. So I don't want to kill that pick too much. I mean, Rashad Penny's off the roster. Like, this is just a team, man, that's just like, I don't know. They're very weird. I like the Stone Forsythe pick. I like the Dwayne Eskridge pick. It's just like, I don't think either of them really move the needle. I don't think really either of them are going to improve what Seattle is lacking. You know what I mean? Like, Seattle did not lose to the Rams last year because they didn't have a wide receiver three.
100%, yeah.
It just was not the problem. It really was not. And they didn't lose to the Rams last year because they didn't have a backup slot corner in Trey Brown. Very weird draft, but I mean, Seattle is just, they do this every year where it's just like, we sit down and we're like, I just don't understand what you're doing. So I don't know. This was like a D plus for me. Like, I love Dwayne Eskridge. I really do think he's a good football player. Think he could be productive for Seattle. It's just that, like, I don't think he pushes the needle. I mean, how much more productive is he going to be over David Moore was last year?
Yeah.
Putting you guys on the spot before we end the show. How many wins do the Seahawks have next year?
Nine. They're always weird because of Russell Wilson. It's just Russell Wilson makes them a lot better. I think take Russell Wilson off this team, I think they're one of the worst teams in football. But with Russell Wilson, nine. I mean, this division's tough, guys. San Francisco's really good. The Rams just got Matthew Stafford, and then the Arizona Cardinals aren't any slouches this year either.
Right.
So they're playing the other teams to the year. So that's the hardest division in football, in my opinion.
It's definitely one of the best. I think they'll be like 9-8 or like 10-7, maybe. Yeah.
Are they a playoff team with the extra playoffs?
I you know what's really crazy? I think we might – can we see all four teams from that division get in? Is that, like, mathematically possible?
I feel like we say this every single year. Since we've been doing podcasts to each other, we always talk about the chances of every team in NFC West making the playoffs. This is a consistent thing for us.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think it's possible,
I mean, the teams they would be facing is twice a year.
Well, how many extra wild card spots are there?
There's three. One wild card spot.
Okay,
actually,
so the division winner gets in, and then the rest of them get wild card spots.
No, but you guys are not hearing me out. They're playing twice a year, so someone has to lose in these games.
Somebody has to lose, yeah.
Yeah, but if they split them, if they all split them, and then they win
their
other games. Yeah, but someone, I'm telling you, man, what if they all just end up like a flat 10-7 just across the board?
Is that possible?
I don't think it's possible.
They could all go 10-7. Like, I'm not even saying like that because, like, I'm not saying like the Cardinals can't win 10 games. It's like, I don't think it's possible that all four teams can win 10 games.
Yeah. All right. On that note,
that was fun, guys. All right. With that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed. If you guys could leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you guys are listening to, it's always very much appreciated. And the Sixers game will be well over by then, and we might be into game 2 by the time this is released. But good luck to your Philadelphia 76ers, Dante. I wish you best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Saray, I hope the Bulls lose in the lottery. I hope we get the number 1 pick. So screw you. And we're out, guys. Peace.